We now go live to exclusive HVL behind-the-scenes audio footage of Mitch Marner's training camp physical.
Oh, hello, Mitchell. You may remember me. I'm Dr. Shapiro, head team physician with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, of course I remember you, Doc. You know, I'm really looking forward to this physical. Coach Babcock told me to keep getting stronger. I ate a lot more proteins in the off-season, stayed away from the junk food, hired a personal trainer, really worked on building up my strength.
That's wonderful. Why don't you hop up on this scale here and I'll check your playing weight for this year.
Alrighty.
Let's see here. I'm looking at my medical charts and I see that last year you came into training camp weighing in at 170 pounds. I'm thrilled to tell you, you're now 171 pounds.
Yes!
I couldn't help but notice your new tattoo.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Austin got one and he said I should get one too. It hurt a little bit, but Austin said it really made me look cool.
Well, it certainly does. I couldn't help but notice on social media that your buddy Austin hangs out with a lot of models over the summer.
I like playing Xbox.
So, pals, we ran some really interesting Twitter polls over the last couple of days in preparation for the show. It was really interesting to see, after nearly 400 votes, how people felt about certain players if things go horribly wrong this year. And we brought up some recurring names, too, like, you know, Thomas Plekanec, Jake Gardner, Nazem Kadri, you know, familiar whipping boys. But the one that got almost half the votes was Patches, Max Pacioretty. What does that say about the team's prospects when your captain is under this kind of scrutiny in the upcoming season?
Well, I think it says a lot. I mean, a lot of the preseason predictions have already predicted that the Leafs will finish ahead of the Montreal Canadiens. Not a lot of people in Habs land are happy with what has transpired in terms of the new roster. And Pacioretty is coming off 0 goals in 6 playoff games, a very disappointing playoff performance by not only himself but the team. So I think that's still lingering, and he is feeling it, which is strange because he actually spent the entire offseason in Montreal, and he spoke glowingly about his interactions with the fans this past summer, which is, you know, it's saying something because obviously now the season's is in the past. So he had a good summer, but it's going to be a lot different living in Montreal full-time if he goes through another bad stretch in Montreal.
What's especially ridiculous are that oddsmakers are putting the Maple Leafs in Vegas and with organizations like Bodog at the most ridiculous odds, 14-1 to win the Stanley Cup, in the same breath as like the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Washington Capitals, which is pretty amazing considering the defensive alignment of this team right now. This team has very, very porous defense, and yet everyone's talking about them as future Stanley Cup contenders. Is this a case of maybe people getting way too ahead of themselves over the offseason?
Believe it or not, I don't have much problem with that prediction, and I think it's a reflection of the way the NHL is going. Pittsburgh won the Stanley Cup with offense last year. The last 2 years, they've won it with offense, and that seems to be the way the NHL is moving, and we all know Toronto has a lot of offense, and they have a capable goaltender. So I think that's potentially where Bodog is leaning. Also, if you look, they're obviously a young team. And what, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, they won their Stanley Cups at ages 21 and 22, respectively. Third year for Crosby and Malkin, they went to the final. And in their fourth year, they won the Stanley Cup. So I think it might be a little premature, but I don't have a huge problem with that. And despite me being a Habs fan, I don't see it that as being that crazy. Even if you look, Pierre Maguire is on record as saying that the Toronto Maple Leafs will finish ahead of the Montreal Canadiens. And that makes me... It makes me angry, not because I think he's wrong. It makes me angry because I don't like what Marc Bergevin has done. It's easy
it should
for
make
me
you
to,
angry.
To get mad at Marc Bergevin, and people think, oh, this is just an easy target. But it's true. You take a look at all the moves he's done, and a lot of them don't make sense.
No, they They don't.
If I were to tell you, hey, Shapiro, the Vegas Golden Knights starting left defenseman is David Schlemko, we would both laugh. We would both be laughing. This is Golden Knights starting defenseman is David Schlemko. Yet he is penciled in as the Montreal Canadiens starting left defenseman.
Astonishing. Astonishing because, first of all, we'd be inspired to make some sketches, number one, if that were the case. And two, there's the issue of how things quickly change in both markets. I mean, really, it's unbelievable to think that a year ago, the Maple Leafs had zero expectations because no one seemed to understand what they had and where it's going. Although, admittedly, a year ago, people were excited at the prospects of all the youth. But with the Habs, it's been a steady stream of trying to build a team with parts that can fulfill the Stanley Cup template. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked out to this point. And now it seems to me like the faithful are getting a little jittery and frustrated because of all these pundits who are coming out basically saying, doesn't matter that you've got the best goaltender in the league, doesn't matter that you have one of the best captains and leaders in the league, and certainly doesn't matter that you have in Shea Weber a pure stud, we think you're going to struggle this year. That's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me.
Well, it is, but if you look at the other side of it, and you look at just down the middle of what Montreal has, when you start with Philip Danault, Thomas Pekanets, Torrey Mitchell, and now they're saying that never really a center in the NHL and wasn't a center in junior. I mean, he played a little bit of center in the NHL. Jonathan Drouin, they're going to try him at center. They're going to try him at center. So what does that say? They don't know if he's going to be a center. They've already said Galchenyuk is not going to be the center, so they still have the center problems. And you know what I love? What I love about Leafs Nation is that you and all the rest of Leafs Nation are so happy sitting back watching this team grow. And meanwhile, nothing in the back of your head is like, wow, we got this way by manipulating the system. We tanked for Austin Matthews. Well, if you guys didn't manipulate and throw junk at your fans and these stupid fans still bought tickets and went to the games, it disgusts me that you backed into Austin Matthews just by manipulating the system. When Brendan Shanahan won that lottery, you know what the kind of face he had on him? He looked like the face of a kid who just scored 100% on a test that he cheated on. That's the face that he had.
You know, the other day I was driving up north near the township of Huntsville and Gravenhurst, and I looked around and realized I was near the district municipality of Muskoka. And for those of you who enjoy traveling to cottage country and enjoying the beautiful air and serene shorelines and all the wonderful trappings of cottage country that this beautiful place on earth offers, it's hard to believe that not too long ago, in fact only a short scant 8 or 9 years ago, the Toronto Maple Leafs were hijacked with a syndrome that came from a group of players known as the Muskoka Five. Who were the Muskoka Five, you ask? Well, none other than Matt Sundin, Darcy Tucker, Pavel Kubina, Brian McCabe, and Thomas Caberla. And you're asking yourself, well, why were these players so special? Because at one point in the history of this franchise, they were the vaunted competitive elements that this team had hoped would get them to the promised land. We know back in history, by the year 2008, it became horribly apparent to fans of this franchise that they were also the reason why they could not compete for the better part of a decade. Cliff Fletcher, in all of his esteemed wisdom and declining age, was unable to trade any of these players at the 2008 deadline, primarily because of no trade, no movement clauses. And it's funny, because, you know, here on HVL, we like to write sketches and joke about these things, but once upon a time in this franchise history, they were part of a grim and bitter reality that prevented them from being competitive at a time when other teams were trading off declining assets to get better, younger, faster, and stronger. Look, these contracts were as much a product of the era in which financial agreements were made as were the kinds of promises given to players who, at various points in their careers, were true Maple Leafs, productive Maple Leafs. No one can forget the great things that Brian McCabe did when he was scoring over 20 goals as a defenseman, the smooth, big assist numbers from Thomas Caberle, and of course Matt Sundin's Hall of Fame-worthy career. But unfortunately, players like Pavel Kubina and Darcy Tucker were clearly regressing at very early stages in their Maple Leafs career, and ultimately were the scorn and suffered the wrath of fans for having lingered around far too long and in some cases getting paid for the next 7.5 years. At the end of the day, we should be thankful that no trade, no movement clause are no longer part of this team's nomenclature, with, of course, the notable exception of Patrick Marleau.
So yesterday was the annual preseason golf tournament for the Montreal Canadiens, and Mark Bergevin actually said something that made me hopeful about the future for the Montreal Canadiens. You know, Mark has been making a lot of moves that I've questioned lately, or lack thereof, and yesterday he said that he's not going to spend the $8.5 million worth of cap space that he has just to spend it. Now, a lot of people are still clamoring for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, he of the $6 million annual AAV, who scored 18 goals last year, who scored 0 goals in 13 playoff games, 4 assists in those playoff games, didn't look very effective at all, and yet people are clamoring for him to fulfill the Montreal Canadiens' number one center position. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is not a number one center. He is a number two at best, and probably in the very near future will be a number three center. Then we go to Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene is another player that Habs fans want to see come and fill the number one center position in Montreal. Matt Duchene is not even a true number one center. He had an offseason last year, yes, and he is capable of scoring points, but again, he's not a natural centerman. What's going to happen then if he comes to the club? He's going to be filling a role that he's not suited to. He's even on the smaller side too. Don't we want to get bigger? Don't we want to get a true number one center? So what are we going to do with that $8.5 million? We're going to waste it on those guys? No, we need to wait and spend it on the right player. We need to spend it on John Tavares. So forget about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, forget about Matt Duchene, and let's go after John Tavares, let's listen to Jeff Molson, and let's go tampering.
Leafs fan Ari Shapiro here. To introduce my guests on tonight's show, I want to welcome James Tanner. He's a writer and contributor with Editor and Leaf and Hockey Bus. James, welcome to Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan.
Oh, thanks for having me.
James, we are very, very close to what will be, hopefully, a very memorable Maple Leaf season. We've got the rookie tournament first for all eyes on all Leaf fans, magnified, looking very carefully to see the stock of rookies, who might make the team. What are your impressions about how this Maple Leafs team will look like at the start of the season relative to how it looks now? Do you see any rookies maybe making that jump and impressing you?
I don't know, man. Like, if you really think about it, they got too many players. They got a lot of guys who are NHL ready or NHL, they're already NHL players, so I don't see how they're going to really fit guys in unless they make some moves. And as for, like, rookies making it with all these extra players, I don't really see it. But at the same time, who knows? They showed in the past they'll put rookies on the team.
Sure. I'm thinking, any hope for the Timothy Liljegren and Kasperi Kapanens of the world? Do you see maybe one of those two making the team?
I see definitely that Kasperi Kapanen has to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs were a bad defensive team last year. And they're not, I don't see any signs that they've improved their defense. Kapanen is one of the only guys they have who's, like, competent defensively. He's really fast. And I don't see how, if they're going to ice the best team they have, that they don't have him on.
Hmm. And you're not a big fan of the fact that, as you mentioned, the only real addition to the team from a defensive standpoint was Ron Hainsey. And that might be said with a real tongue in the cheek. Because we both know he's not exactly he's not a Carl Alsner, is he?
No, and I don't think Carl Alsner is very good. I think I'd rather have Hainsey, to be honest. But I don't really know, man. Like, he was an okay addition. It was a little weird when they started talking about him, like, playing top four and turning Morgan Rielly into an elite player. Like, I just, you know, looking at stats and stuff, I don't see any way or evidence that Hainsey makes players better or that he's good defensively. So I don't see that he'll really help. I don't think he'll, like, hurt. But I would have just liked to see them get someone better. And they still could, though. I mean, trade deadline's not until March, right?
Absolutely. I'm wondering, how much do you place with intangibles like clubhouse chemistry and leadership? How do you perceive Marlowe's addition in that regard? Do you give any credence to the fact that he brings all this experience and that the young kids will listen to him? Or is that just spending a lot of money on nothing?
I have no idea. Like, I find that, like, a super interesting topic because people get real intense and they take sides. And I think if you're going to talk about it as a fan, like, you don't know. I've never met Patrick Marlowe. I don't know the guys on the Leafs. I don't know how they're going to interact, you know? So maybe he could, like, obviously leadership is a real thing. It's helpful if a guy has a lot of heart or you can cheer for him or whatever that gets other guys going. That's obviously something that does happen, but you can't measure it. So I don't even see why we should talk about it. Like, or I guess So why do we talk about it so much? People are always, you know, it's the first thing they go to. Well, we got this guy for leadership, you know. But it's always arbitrary. He's old. He's been in the NHL a long time. He's a great leader. Well, maybe he is. I always found that was the weirdest thing about leadership in hockey is it's sort of applied to a guy who checks and plays like the third line role, or it's the, you know, the grizzled veteran who's played 1,000 games, right? It's always those guys. And I thought it was cool when I was watching the it used to be called 24/7. I don't know what they call it now.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that documentary leading up to the outdoor game last year. Morgan Riley seemed like the guy on the team to me who was like the go-to leader guy. But no one ever talks about him as, you know, like a potential captain or anything. And
well,
they, I don't know. I just, from watching the show, I thought, oh, he seems to be the guy who speaks for everyone.
It's interesting you brought up Riley's name because I think you'll agree that fans are starting to have mixed feelings about him. At least the ones who don't appreciate the value of how long it takes for a young defenseman to eventually blossom into an established force. Are you at all concerned that he may have taken a bit of a step backwards and that the expectations placed on him maybe demonstrated he doesn't have the poise or the fortitude to handle this kind of pressure in this market?
He was drafted 5th overall. It's Toronto, so everyone's like, our new guy is a superstar. But who's going to be? I mean, if the measure for success is Erik Karlsson, well, Riley's never going to be that.
No.
But if you take an average top 5 pick and he spends the next 10 years on your blue line in any kind of top 4 role, that's a great draft pick. Right? So, what do we expect out of Riley? I mean, is he ever going to be Karlsson or Brent Burns? Probably not, but I think he's pretty good. He got thrown to the wolves a lot last year. Zaitsev wasn't helping him out at all.
No, that's true. Zaitsev struggled, and Gardner ended up plus 24 because he played against everyone's third line. So,
yeah, I think Gardner's our best defenseman.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. You base that on the strides he took last year, because I think if I'd asked you this question a year ago, you wouldn't be nearly as enthusiastic about Jake. Is that a difference a year makes?
No, I'll say this. I've been a Jake Gardner supporter for years now. I used to get, you know, people would take me to task and say Gardner sucks, and I'd always stick up for him because I always thought that, you know, the errors that you see him make, that's just a confirmation bias. You're remembering because that's the most recent thing that happened. They showed on the highlights 50 times.
Yeah.
But I found, you know what, for his whole career, Gardner, you put him on the ice, you get more shots than you allow. Doesn't matter. First line minutes, third line minutes, whoever you put him up against, he's always effective. He's steady. And you get you 30, 40 points. I mean,
well, we both know that defensemen, especially young defensemen, always get a deal in this market. A lot of expectations. It's why Luke Shen had problems. It's why Ali Afraidy had problems. For those people who remember back in the late 80s, this team chews them up. Whether it was Larry Murphy or whether it's someone like a Dion Phaneuf, do you find that that's something that might be just awkwardly specific to Toronto? Because I agree with you. Jake Gardner, he was always someone that was touted as an effective defenseman, and he's blossomed into a very, very value-oriented one for this team's bottom line. So why all this scorn?
It's something I've always thought about. Todd Gill's another one. Even people didn't like Sundin. People didn't like Caberle. There's just a certain kind of person that comes into Toronto, and they don't get kind of the respect. I don't know. It seems almost arbitrary in a lot of ways. Like Dion Phaneuf, obviously he was never going to be the number one guy that was on like Team Canada in Calgary when he scored like 20 or whatever he did as a rookie. But he was still a good player for us, and I thought he got a bad rap. I got a Dion Phaneuf jersey. He was my favorite player for a long time.
Well,
I thought he got a terrible rap.
Yeah.
You know, people just pick a guy, it's sort of arbitrary. He becomes the lightning rod. Brian McCabe was another one. The fans don't always rate the guys properly.
That's very true. So, James, why don't you tell our listening audience here at Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan how they can find you on social media and maybe any of your projects or articles you're currently working on?
You can find me on Editor and Leafs, covering the Leafs. Recently wrote about not taking the game so seriously and just, you know. it was a response to an article Andrew had put up. He was suggesting people take stock of where we're at, but not get too crazy, you know, keep your expectations in check, you know, the sensible kind of thing, which, you know, I guess that's definitely advised for most things. But I was reading that and I was like, you know what, like, it's sports. I fully expect at least to win the Cup, right? Like,
right.
I mean, I don't realistically think that they will win the Cup, but I mean, Ottawa went to the Final Four. As long as you make the playoffs, anything can happen.